Jacob and his descendants, numbering 70, went to the land of Egypt and lived in Egypt for 400 years. Because they were shepherds, they were isolated. They were made to live apart from the Egyptians. And there they lived and grew and developed as a distinct people. And then the last 100 years, we're told, because a Pharaoh arose that did not know Jacob or Isaac or Joseph, actually, made them slaves. And they were virtual slaves in Egypt for 100 years. And then God raised up a man by the name of Moses to deliver them. When God called Moses to this task of deliverance, Moses was in the wilderness of Midian. And there he was tending sheep. And Moses had been a shepherd in Midian for 40 years. God talked to Moses from a burning bush and told him what he wanted Moses to do. And Moses responded to God by doubting that the Israelites would accept him or listen to him. So the Lord asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" And Moses said, "Well, a staff. A shepherd's staff." And God said, "Throw it to the ground." And Moses threw it to the ground. And children, you know what happened, don't you? It became a serpent. God said, "Reach down and grab it." And he did, and it became a staff again. Moses eventually quit arguing with God and obeyed. We see again and again this shepherd's staff in Moses' hand as he led the people of Israel. In his first confrontation with Pharaoh, he again throws down his staff and it becomes a serpent. And the evil, false priests of Satan threw their staffs down and they also became snakes. Only what happened, you remember? Moses' serpent ate the other serpents. And then it again became a staff. Moses stretched out his staff over the Nile River and it became blood. He stretched his staff toward heaven, and the Lord sent destructive hail. Moses stretched his staff, we're told, over the Red Sea, and it parted so that they could cross on dry land. He stretched it out again, and the seas closed, engulfing the Egyptian army, destroying it. He struck a rock with his staff, and water flowed from the rock in the midst of the desert. Isaiah refers to Moses as the shepherd of Israel. And so he was. And as their shepherd, he had the tools of a shepherd, his rod and his staff that he used in leading God's people. In Psalm 23, a psalm that rejoices in the living God being our shepherd, David refers to these shepherd's tools as means of comfort. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What is the psalmist David referring to? How can a rod and a staff be a comfort to the believer? Why would these tools of shepherding be an encouragement, a help to us in our lives, our battles, our struggles. Rods and staffs are not tools of the modern shepherd here in North Dakota. They can, however, still be found in parts of Africa and the Middle East. They're still used by shepherds. The rod. I just happened to bring one. Children, you can come up and check it out after the service if you would like. The rod had a variety of uses in Scripture, but it's full of symbolism. Symbolism of strength and power and authority. The Hebrew word for rod that we have here in Psalm 23 is sometimes translated scepter. As Jacob blessed his sons before he died, he told Judah, gave Judah this prophecy. This is Genesis 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people. This word scepter in Genesis 49 is the exact same Hebrew word as we have here in Psalm 23, rod. This was, of course, prophetic of David. David of the tribe of Judah. And of David's son, Shiloh, Jesus Christ. Psalm 45, 6. Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. Same word again. Rod. Only here translated scepter. In this sense, the rod speaks of the shepherd's authority over his sheep. The good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is your king, your ruler. And true sheep bow to his authority. The shepherd also uses the rod for discipline. Middle Eastern shepherds were rather skilled at the use of their rods. They could throw them with rather potent accuracy at wayward or wandering sheep to get their attention. You might do that with your cat or dog, only you might use a ball of paper or something like that to get their attention. The image of God striking his people with his rod, punishing or disciplining those he loves, is common throughout the Bible. It's rather hard for our Western individualistic sensibilities, but it's an important teaching of Scripture. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 5, God speaks to Israel and he says this, "Woe to Assyria, the rod of my anger, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation." God is going to use Assyria as his rod, as his punishing agent against sinful Israel. Assyria is going to be used by God to discipline his sheep. And then Assyria will suffer for their sins as well and be disciplined by his rod, by someone else. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, weeping because he weeps over the destruction of Israel, which occurred in 586 BC. Why was Jerusalem destroyed and leveled? Because Israel persisted in disobedience against God. And Jeremiah laments in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 1, "I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of God's wrath." Job, the ancient patriarch, experiencing extreme hardship and affliction, incorrectly attributes them to God, to God's discipline. As we know in reading Job, that wasn't the case, but that's how Job understood it. And Job laments, Job 9:34, "Let God take his rod away from me, and do not let dread of him terrify me." Again, as David grows old, God promises that his son Solomon will sit in his place. And in 2 Samuel 7:14, God says this, "I will be his," that is Solomon's, "father, and he shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chastise him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men." The Good Shepherd is no different with us. Just like sheep, we are all so prone to wander and to get into trouble. And our shepherd must use his rod of correction, his rod of discipline, not to be mean, not to be unkind, but for our good, for our protection. So we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us," that is our earthly fathers, "as seemed best to them. But God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." And David experienced this a number of times. When he committed adultery and murdered Uriah, he took Bathsheba as a wife. And for nearly a year, he lived with unconfessed sin in his life. But we are told that what David had done displeased the Lord. And God used his rod of discipline against David. And he came in the person of the prophet Nathan to rebuke David for his sin. He confronted David. And what's interesting is David readily acknowledged his sin, repented of it, turned from it, ceased from it. But what's also interesting is even though David was repentant, God sent his rod of discipline upon him. And so we read God telling him through Nathan, "As a consequence of your sin, even though you've repented, the sword shall never depart from your house. And I will raise up adversity against you from your own house. And I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor. And the child that is born to you, this innocent child, shall die." The Good Shepherd, out of love for his sheep, still uses his rod with them and with us. Chastens us, disciplines us. So we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Well, the shepherd will also use the rod in counting his sheep. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 37 mentions this. "I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant." So the shepherd would hold out his rod, and rather simply just hold it out, and the sheep would come through, and as they would pass the rod, he would count and number his sheep. And Jesus tells a story of one shepherd that did this and he ended up with 99. And so he went out to find the other one that was lost. One of the things that the shepherd would also do is, as he was counting his sheep, would look at them carefully for problems, for defects, for disease. Sometimes he would use the rod to move the wool around to get a closer look at maybe a sore or something along that line. Well, Christian, your good shepherd does this with you as well. Jesus himself said, I am the good shepherd and I know my sheep. If you are in Christ, he knows you. He counts you as his own. He numbers not only you, but Jesus said the hairs on your head. He knows the smallest details about you. He knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your weaknesses, your sins, your hurts, your longings, your joys, and your sorrows. The psalmist's joy is not in the grass that the shepherd provides, but in the shepherd himself. The shepherd who counts us as his own and so is comforted by his rod, which assures us of his love and of his care, his faithfulness, his wisdom, reminding us of the promise of the covenant of grace, I shall be your God and you shall be my people. Are you one of the shepherd's sheep this morning? If you are, let the shepherd's love for you be an encouragement to you. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, and the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. Now the shepherd would also use the rod as a defensive tool for protection. To defend the shepherd and his sheep. He'd use it sometimes as a club to defend the flock. You can still see this. If you go out and observe people walking, oftentimes they will jog or carry a walking stick, a rod with them as they go. And among other things, it's useful for fending off obnoxious dogs. Which are still around even in town. The shepherds of David's day would use the rod in much the same way. That hard knob on the end could deliver a rather serious blow to a predator's skull, whether it's a wolf or a snake, effectively protecting the shepherd and his sheep from harmful enemies. Those who are in Christ, who are his sheep, are under that protective rod of Christ. Think on this. The Almighty and Omniscient God watches over you, protects you from all harm, including spiritual harm. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But your shepherd, using his rod, figuratively speaking, watches over you to protect you and to care for you. Your shepherd who purchased his sheep with his own life does not leave you to fend for yourself. In fact, in John 10:12, Jesus said this, the hireling who is not the shepherd sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees because he does not care about the sheep. I, Jesus says, am the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. You have a shepherd who does not run from danger, from opposition, from the enemy, but defends you, protects you, and loves you even to death. Well, the shepherd not only had a rod for protection, but he also had the staff. The staff for comfort. Sometimes you've heard these referred to as a shepherd's crook, for obvious reasons. The shepherd uses the staff much differently than the rod. If the rod denotes power and protection and discipline and authority, the staff denotes comfort and care and guidance. The shepherd's staff was not just to lean on as he watched the sheep from a distance. Staff had many uses. The shepherd would use a staff to keep the sheep together. Picture a large flock of sheep and some on the edges always kind of wanting to wander off. And the shepherd would use his staff to reach out and kind of nudge them in back into the flock, back to where they should be from going astray. Or he could use the staff to draw a particular sheep to himself. He might see something that needs attention or something that needs to be examined a little more closely. And his staff, he could reach out and draw it to himself. Or if the sheep, or say a little lamb, got down off the edge a little bit and into trouble, he could use the staff to reach down and retrieve the wandering sheep and bring it to himself. You've probably seen such pictures. There's some around of the shepherd leaning over the edge of a cliff with his staff to draw a trapped sheep to himself. Shepherd could also use the staff for guidance, reaching out with a staff to gently push the sheep in the right direction and the way that they should go. And his staff was kind of an extension of the shepherd's arms. In that sense, sometimes a shepherd would even walk along as he's leading the sheep, and maybe a particular sheep needs a little extra encouragement, and he would gently just set the staff against that sheep as they walked along, giving it a sense of the shepherd being intimate and close to that sheep. In these various ways, the shepherd's rod and staff were a comfort, a blessing for the sheep, a source of security and of help. David is saying, as God's sheep, we also need the shepherd's rod and staff. Think of parents who love their children. They will always set boundaries for them. You cannot do this. You cannot do that. Sometimes enforcing those rules with a rod of discipline, as Proverbs 13:24 says, he who spares his rod hates his son. These rods and staffs of parenting are often resisted. Children resist boundaries, especially when other parents around have no boundaries. Society resists boundaries. It stunts their development and their growth. But they are important tools for godly parenting, to protect children, the children whom you love, from evil and from harm. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction, and by the way, it's the same word, the shepherd's rod, same Hebrew word. The rod of correction shall drive it, that is foolishness, from his heart. The Apostle Paul is an example of the Good Shepherd's care and protection. Think of Paul traveling and ministering and all of the violent opposition he faced and the difficulties and even physical abuse that he endured, even the stoning to the point where they thought he was dead. But the shepherd used his rod of protection. One night the Lord spoke to Paul and told him this: do not be afraid, but speak. That is, keep proclaiming the gospel. Don't be afraid. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you. Acts 18:10. Christian, in Jesus Christ, you are a sheep in the shepherd's care. Ezekiel 34:23 prophesies of this. God says, I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. My servant David, he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. That is Jesus Christ, the good shepherd. His rod and his staff are in his hands to protect you, guide you, discipline you when necessary, and assuring you always of the shepherd's loving presence with you. As believers in Christ, you should be comforted by his rod and by his staff. Your God is in control of the universe, and neither the world nor your personal life is spiraling out of control. The good shepherd, the living God, is with you, watching over you, protecting you. You can never escape the presence of your shepherd. What an encouragement that is. Psalm 139, verse 7. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell or the grave, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even from your hand, you shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. And if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Jesus made the same promise in Matthew 28, didn't he? I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age, no matter where you go. And he's talking to his disciples as he sends them forth to evangelize the world. There's no place that you can go in the world, no evil that you can face. I, the good shepherd, am not with you. Christian, if you understand this, that your shepherd loves you and cares for you and is with you, that he is always with you, and his power and his wisdom are with you, your shepherd who has loved you without restraint, even laying down his life for you, your response to such a shepherd will not only be a soul that is at peace, comforted by his presence, no matter what the world is doing around you, no matter what chaos in your home, the good shepherd is with you. In the midst of calamities, tragedies, death, injustice, regardless of all of that, as you understand the good shepherd's presence, you too will be filled with wholehearted praise and love and a desire to please and obey him, your good shepherd, who loved you and gave himself for you. Indeed, your desire will be not only to please him and obey him, but to glorify him and to enjoy him forever. Shall we pray?